spike scan initiated. I'm picking up a podcast arriving. Wait, designation, Forge the Narrative.
Hello and welcome everyone to Forge the Narrative. We are the Bella Lost Souls podcast. My name is Paul, your host. I'm joined by Red Powell.
Hello.
Tandy Gates.
Hey, everybody.
And Adam Kimmeler.
No, good eye.
Welcome. You are going to be hearing this episode on the day of the release for the Balanced Data Slate, some new index detachments, points, manufactorum field manual updates.
Sounds right.
Yeah. So lots of changes in the middle of the week. That means you got cool things to, you know, be prepping for as you get ready for your games on the weekend. I do want to tell you all about a game I played on this past week. Well, we can jump into the good stuff. I didn't win, by the way. But I got to use a lot of the units that I've been painting recently, and that's what it's all about. Oh, my goodness. But let's jump into this stuff, because I'd like to point out also, again, Blood Angels Untouched. It is the perfect army list codex. Well, little point changes here and there, but for the better, I think. What are y'all's initial thoughts?
Also untouched.
Oh.
Just throwing that out there. Thoughts that there wasn't, you know, in the spread across the board, there were not massive changes to a lot of armies. There were a few armies touched that got, Adam, I think in the pre-show, you said it was pretty significant. I tend to agree with that, with what happened. But I don't see this as like not everyone's going to flock to the balanced data slate to find something for their army.
There's not really much in between getting fully dealt with and untouched. There's not many factions that are anywhere in the middle. Like, suffice to say, there were some factions that the main archetypes got taken out behind the shed and, you know, are no longer with us in spirit only. And then there are some very good, strong things in the meta that are just going to be the same as they ever was. They're completely unchanged.
Can you attribute part of that, though, to the fact that the meta, if we look at this competitive, like we're talking about it just from a competitive standpoint, mm-hmm. is that there is a lot of representation in like the top 10 of events from like many, many different factions. Like there could be 8-9 different factions in a top 10 right now.
Exactly right. And the reason for some of the other things not getting more heavily dealt with, and I'm talking about Guard and Eldar mostly, is because we know how long in advance and how much data they like to have under their belt before they make a lot of these decisions, balanced data slate-wise, endpoints-wise. And so there's only been incremental stuff to the two most recent factions, that being the two I just listed. So don't expect big changes there. And arguably, those are two of, if not the best factions in the game right now. That's why we don't think, like, that's why to Red's point, things haven't got a massive shakeup, but a few of the best armies that people were playing before are probably not there anymore.
I do, just throwing it out there, small, but like it's interesting to see some of the small things. Like you're right, like there's some big stuff that they've just, I'm not going to say they completely wiped it out, but they definitely are like trying to bring it back in. But there's a couple small things though that are nudged here or there just based off of things like Sisters, right?
Oh my
Sisters,
God. Yeah.
I mean, that one, you know, that one got adjusted last time, right? Last time the adjustment that came around. This time the
they
new
got
adjustment
adjusted
for them.
Back to the shelves. That's where they got adjusted.
Well, I mean, and so like, but this kind of, I think this one plays into it. The new adjustment for them, Miracle Dice, and we all know how effective Miracle Dice were. Mm. Each time Sisters of Battle unit from your army is destroyed, and so you get one, you gain a Miracle Dice at the start of each battle round, and now it's each time a unit is destroyed. It used to be where it was at the end of the phase, if one or more units during that phase had been destroyed, you'd only get one. But now it's each time a unit's destroyed, and so we're back to increased Miracle Dice generation, which we all know is a big deal, and a lot of the efficiencies that they manage. So, but that's like it. That's, I mean, as far as the data slate goes, it was just a little nudge. And so like, just, you know, they were, like you said, Paul, they were put back on the shelf, and now they've made a slight adjustment to see if it's just enough for people to start bringing them back out again.
I mean, I can see that. To talk about why this might be significant is that the Adeptus Auritas had a bunch of pieces, a bunch of units you could put on the table, and you could play the screen game, you could play the trade game. You know, they had a lot of things that you could do. And then and with that fuel from the Miracle Dice, you got some reliability and what have you. Maybe in lieu of getting all those units back and all those options, maybe the reliability from the units you do have is enough to attract those players back out to the table.
I think so. I think what they've done will be enough to get people playing Sisters again.
Excellent.
Because, like, from the previous changes, the faction's virtually been abandoned, which is very sad to say. Over on the Meta Chasers, Paul and I, we regularly see the same amount. Like, so just putting it in perspective, Imperial Agents have been more represented at many large events in the last 3 months than freaking Sisters of Battle, than Adeptus Sororitas. And that's just not right.
Is it not right? I mean, everybody gets their turn, man.
The agents
don't hold it against
over,
the agents. Yeah, that's pretty rough. Pretty rough, I feel. Yeah.
Where's your medal, Red?
Oh, man. I got to go
yeah,
get
you
it.
You should be wearing that. You should have had it stuck on your forehead.
He pulled down Best Imperial Agents at an event this past week.
Not at just any event, at ATC, out of tons of opportunities for people to have brought Imperial Agents. I mean, I'm just saying, everyone had the same opportunity I did. I brought them. And I was the best Imperial Agent player.
But we're proud of you and proud for you.
Out of 88 people, that was me. I got it. I just happened to be the only one to bring Imperial Agents.
Someone's
got to feast on the low-hanging fruit. I mean, otherwise it's going to rot on the ground. Like, who wants that? No one wants
in
that.
In a team's list, the Imperial Agents is another opportunity to take a Marine list. It's a great thing to take.
It's a sleeper cell, man. It's a secret, like, it's just activated. I had a great time, played with some great people, had some awesome games. I'll talk a little bit more about it when we get to some of the other stuff later on in the show, specifically the new Orc detachment, because running 50 Death Watch veterans was an adventure. And yep. Death Watch hammers are different. They're just built different. I'm just saying that the Death Watch hammers are—they're the real deal. It's what everybody wants in a hammer.
The
it's really funny
hammers.
Where every other list looks like a nail in that case. So.
Oh my goodness! Well, we were talking about making reference to lists that did get a little bit of a hit with this release, this update, this patch. And what list are y'all referring to? Slaanesh Demons? Is that what we're thinking?
Legion of Excess. It may be Legion of.
Just enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Legion of Starvation for some of this. I mean, it's rough. So, I mean, Seductive Gambit detachment rule was changed. So it used to be you could reroll a hit roll of one, and you could reroll a wound roll. Now it's a wound roll of one. If this unit is within your army's Shadow of Chaos, you can instead reroll the hit roll, and you can reroll a wound roll of one. Whereas I think it used to be you could reroll the whole, wound
it used
roll.
To be,
so now it's always just one.
Yeah, so you give up your fights first on the charge to get four rolls to hit, four rolls to wound. That is now reroll ones to hit, ones to wound, unless you're in Shadow of Chaos, and then it's four rolls to hit, ones to wound. It is not the same thing at all. And you couple that with the fact that they also caught, you know, some points. They got the everything nerf. They got the holistic nerf from all directions. They now also have the... So this is actually a lot more than I expected. They got a brand new index. So they've told us that Chaos Demons are going to be updated via an index for the time being. And that index will keep being updated. But the Empress Children data sheets of Slaanesh are now ported over and become the living stuff there. And there's been some other updates on the demon side as well. But there's no hiding the fact that the Keeper of Secrets got worse from that transition. The Keeper of Secrets went from having a 4-up invuln, 5-up feel no pain, to having a 3-up armor save, 4-up invuln. These are not the same things. Who is shooting their bolt guns? There are no AP bolt guns at that Keeper of Secrets where that 3-up's going to be a tasty morsel. No, you're slapping it with las cannons at all chances. So the 3-up doesn't even touch the sides. So a dramatic downturn there. In addition to your fiends, just don't kill everything anymore. And they copped a change to a stratagem. That one being the one that lets them dish off the wounds. This now requires you to have line of sight and be within 9 inches, not 12 inches, which negates a lot of the power there. So unfortunately, I do believe Slaanesh Demons have copped the bit of the cannon into the sun. Despite that, though, I think demons are in a very good place, an extremely good place, which we'll talk about later, I think. It actually warrants a whole hour-long episode to talk about demons.
Yeah, now. We definitely will talk about demons. There's a detachment for people to start planning around, and Nurgle may make another appearance.
Yes.
And I know everyone gets happy when Nurgle is good. That's true, which is true. Everyone feels better.
So jolly. Good. Such a good time.
Yeah.
And they're arguably the most fun faction in the entire game to paint. Arguably, yeah. Yeah, it's debatable. They're like one of the most fun factions to paint.
I'll debate that with you, but okay.
Yeah,
you know, so Agent's one boy. Thing, Paul, I hope you enjoyed Osterman for the time that, I mean, I'm not saying you should and continue to, but you know, they took his ability and they changed it to anti-infantry five up, which I don't feel like that's a huge, like just take it off the table kind of deal, but it is a change. I still think he's good. I still think he's in play.
Oh yeah, that's not really a big change going to
it's
five
not,
up.
No, I mean, it's not.
I mean, the fact that you could, you know, he still gets a fair amount of shots. You take him for other reasons too, and like he has a bit of combat. I don't know that he makes it into every list, but was he already making? I don't think he was making it into every list now anyway.
I think people, you know, aspect host. I think people really saw that just that unit of Dire Avengers with Osterman in there. He was, you know, he's got that utility. I think you probably saw that, and that was kind of, you know, where you were headed with it. I don't think that this drastically like takes him out of that by any means. I think he still sees a lot of play for it.
That was what I was playing. I went with aspect host from this and this this game, and then ran basically one of every unit. We'll talk about it later, and it was fun. And yeah, Dire Avengers in that pretty strong. Everything that people have started talking about some of the abilities of that army, and they're very much there. But if that's the only change so far with this data slate, I think maybe that goes into what you were saying before, is that we need more time, more events, more games being played all around the world for people to get the data to maybe see more changes than that. But the fact that one model would put out a ton of damage, three devastating wounds, pretty significant. So now less than before.
Yeah. Well, so following that, Astra Militarum, some slight changes. Bridgehead, you know, I think they definitely have the data at this point to, I don't think that this is I'm not going to say it's a bad call. It's just a movement, right? They're shifting things and adjusting it, changing the detachment to now say each time a Militarum Tempestus model from your army makes a ranged attack in a turn in which it was set up on the battlefield from reserves or it disembarked from a transport, add one to the hit roll. And so that's a pretty strong change.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massive change.
It is. I mean,
the better.
I agree. I mean, like it lines up with a lot of stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, it was really cool to see where it was headed, but at the same time, this is the right direction, right? Like, this is where we kind of thought it should have gone.
So they literally, a unit of 15 Scions deep striking, there wasn't a job they could fail. Like, there wasn't a job you could give them that they could fail mathematically. It just was, how much did you want to try for? Like, right. I've played against and seen games where one unit of Scions comes down and kills three trucks. Truck, three trucks. That shouldn't be a thing. No.
Sure.
Should not be a freaking thing.
What about a knight? How many knights should they be able to kill?
Zero. One unit of 15 should not kill one big knight. But they can come down and kill two and a half or three armages reliably, especially if they're all on objectives.
I'm trying to figure out where you're on the scale in your mind. Like,
What should
15 Scions be able to kill?
They should not kill double their points in one activation.
Okay.
and so with firing hot strategy, another good one that was being used with this has now changed to 2 CP, which is a pretty big deal for CP management, because that definitely means in a lot of cases it's not happening in turn one. Until the end of the phase, when targeting an enemy unit within 12 inches, which is a new restriction, improve the strength and armor penetration characteristics. All that stayed the same. Hotshot carbines, las guns, pistols, marksman rifles, volley guns, and sentry hotshot volley guns equipped by models in your unit by one. And so like that on top of the other piece was a huge combo, but now it's slowed down a little bit with the 2 CP piece. And then also when targeting an enemy unit within 12 inches, which I don't think that's a huge restriction. It's just how you drop down. You've got to be close enough.
It changes the logistics of its use, because a lot of the time people would be deep striking that down, then using Creed to offset the points, so to just make it free. And now it's going to be a lot harder to get Ursula Creed within distance to them, and then be within shooting distance of the target you want to kill. So it's very much just a logistical change.
Great point. Yeah, that's a great point. Great point. The change to Krieg combat engineers.
These have been very popular.
Have been. I mean, a lot of people are probably looking up from their table right now as they listen to us talk about this from where they're putting together their second or third engineer squad. It is now 9 inches, which is a pretty big change in the range. It's also visible 2, which is another big adjustment. because it used to be that they didn't have to be visible, so you could drop them behind a wall and then hit something, mm-hmm. which massive, or you know, they could be just behind a wall. You knew if you got close to them, you could be eating this in your next turn. But now it's on a 3-up still. That enemy unit suffers D3, which is a decrease, mortal wounds, or 2D3 mortal wounds, another decrease instead if it's a vehicle or fortifications unit. So another just, and I'm not saying like this totally kills it by any means, but it definitely means you're going to have to try a little to a lot harder to make this work and really make it count.
Yeah, I think it goes from being like, oh, wow, can I windmill slam 3 units of this in my army as quickly as possible to, man, I'm gonna still take 1 unit of these, and then I'll add more in when they get their value, when they prove it to me.
Right.
Because it was undeniable before that they were just incredible value. But now I'd want to play with them a couple of times and see if they're worth it from how I like to play.
That's right.
Because suffice to say, here's the real issue, right? If so you take a unit of 10 engineers, it's 95 points. You only have to spring 15 more points to get Kazakin at 110. And those Kazakin come with triple the special weapons, the ability to order themselves, better ballista skill, better armor save. So that's why it gets hard now. Because before, they used to be the one-stop shop of like, lol, do you have a save against mortals? Half instead to these these 5 absolute, like, literally, we trained them yesterday. We trained them literally yesterday.
We gave them the shovels and their demo drones or whatever.
And it sucks to be a Devastator Centurion because we just killed 2 of you for no points. But now, like, for 15 more points, you get a unit of Kazakin, which are far more efficient, durable, and flexible. And so that's the cost analysis people say. Like, is this going to be worth it over just springing the extra 15 points?
Yeah. Now, next big one. This is a big jump. There's a couple others. You know, there's some small changes to Votan. There's a small change to Grey Knights. I don't think any of those are crazy crushing. There's some cool stuff with the Votan, throwing out some more judgment tokens, but just skipping through forward of our own tape to Space Marines. So first thing, they caught it, right? Like, they caught, if you were like Oath of Moment army rule, like they caught on, folks. If you're using Codex Space Marines detachment and your army does not include one or more units, blah, 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 you know, of the special ones, add one to the, so they make it like you've got, it's all about the, you've got to use those, you know, specific Codex Space Marine detachments to get the extra part to the oath. I mean, that I think everybody kind of saw that coming.
Correct. It was an obvious loophole abuse to be able to take like a Liberator Strike Force of Blood Angels with no Blood Angels units and still get the +1 to wound on oath. It was an obvious, like, not as intended, but.
So I hope you all enjoyed it while it lasted.
Yeah. Marked safe from Bloodless Angels today. Bloodless Angels was the colloquial term we invented for this kind of list.
Yeah. A couple other changes. Lieutenant Phobos armor, this one. It's a small one, nothing crazy, but just his strategic dispersal. They added, if you do this normal move piece, it's after the model has shot, it's not eligible to declare a charge, which is a small change because you saw some of these, especially Ultramarine lists, where things like with that lieutenant and Uriel Ventress and a couple other things, they were using to move things around and get things done. And even with his, it was changed. His Master of the Fleet ability was changed specifically to Phobos, Gravis, or Tacticus, Adeptus Astartes Infantry. And so just some small adjustments.
I have such questions. Why now? Like, we had
this particular marine. Why this one model?
So, no. The change to Vanguard. So essentially, the Vanguard Space Marine archetype, the Vanguard Spearhead archetype, where you use Uriel Ventress to give Deep Strike to a unit of Devastator Centurions, and then you place him in reserve, bring him back on, place him in reserve, bring him back on. That has been alive and well for 18 months, unchanged. Why did they arbitrarily pick it out now and decide to shoot it, like to just take it out of the game?
I don't think it's arbitrary, man.
Maybe something else is coming.
It can't be arbitary, right? It can't be. Why didn't they do it before? So what does this tell us? Because it's very curious.
I've seen a healthy number of Ultramarine lists out there, and that was in there. And maybe they just enough was enough. Mm. It was just time. Like, they're like, man, how much longer are we going to let this go? And that was it, right? And that, like, taking Centurions out of it is just a massive adjustment. And being able to put, you know, deep striking centurions. How else are they going to get in there now?
So I will tell you that they dropped the points on Devastator Centurions by 20 points per three. So it's now 40 points less to take your six Devastator Centurions. And tell you what, Death Watch is just frothing at the mouth because they're now the only ones that get to recycle them back in reserve and deep strike them again over and over and over. So, yeah, they dropped the points and then pretty much took it away from everybody and then just gave all that entire playbook to Death Watch as the only repository for the flexible Devastator Centurions.
It is seemingly weird that Centurions are one of those units that are incredibly powerful and they just need like the slightest push to make them like a serious focus.
Because they're a strong enough data sheet that they're worth building around and investing a bunch of support characters in, but the downsides of the model are so stark that they're virtually unplayable unless you can make them quick and dynamic. Because they're so easy to avoid on the modern tables we play on with the level of terrain that we play on. If you had just a unit of Devastator Centurions deployed on the table, I think I could make them not shoot for more than half the game. I think I could actively not give them an option to shoot. And that to me as like a maybe above average player, maybe. You got some players in the world who will just be like, that unit of like 300 plus points plus their support characters will never add anything to this game. Because I'm just too good.
You're not just that's points. Why. You're hoping for objectives. Yeah. Sorry,
can I just ask, do you think that all these changes are made for top level play? Or are these changes made for like the average person?
So I think there's a bit of both in here. Because that is a really good question. Some of these are obviously trying to make it so that that everyone enjoys the game a little bit more. Because suffice to say, at the top tables, Slaaneshi Demons weren't crushing it. They were doing extremely well, but I don't think they were one of the best armies in the game. They were definitely up there and could win everything, but if I was to say what should get nerfed, it wasn't going to be them. So I'm of the opinion that Slaaneshi Demons were giving some people some very bad experiences on the middle and lower tables, and so they were just like, well, let's just make sure that people all across the spectrum of gaming don't have to get punished by this.
I mean, I think the Votann changes, like I mentioned, like Votann hasn't really been at top tables either, but the things they added trying to make them more appealing, I think, is to folks out there that are trying to run them and make them work. And it's not just a top table thing that's affected. I think to your point, Tanya, you know, the Space Marine stuff, some of that I see is some of the higher, the Centurions are out, that deep, you know, Uriel Ventress deep striking Centurions has been happening for a minute, like you said, Adam. But I also think I think the sisters thing, like that's just bringing sisters back into the table, hopefully.
Yeah, the sisters and the Votann one are the two that I see as the ones that were geared towards the entire player base. Whereas I actually think the Space Marine one was more geared towards the toxicity of some of the things Space Marines can do, like the Bloodless Angels at top tables. And more. So yeah, to your point, I think majority, Tanya, are probably for everybody. And then there's a couple in there that are just like Vindicare sniping out some of the toxic BS at the top.
Well, it's the sharp, the pokey stuff at the very, very top. You want to, I think the attempt is try to smooth it down. And then any engagement, you can rock up to a table anywhere, anybody, any skill level. Because remember, like all the win rates and everything that we know about are not just amazing players. They're anybody who happened to show up and playing that day. Is to get it all down, get it all averaged out to everybody's got a 51% chance of winning or whatever.
Yeah.
50.5%, I guess.
So to that, you know, some of these point adjustments that are in the new, I'm actually reading this verbatim now, Paul, and I'm sorry, not Manufactorum, but Munitorum Field Manual. Yeah, no, I thought you were correct. I wouldn't have tried myself, but the new points update.
Let's go from memory. I was looking at the acronym and I'm like, there's an acronym. I know what it is.
MFM something Warhammer 40K word. Yeah, field manual. Got it. And so sisters only saw decreases for squads, which I think only plays well. I do want to just throw it out there, Adam, since we're on this whole Imperial Agent kick. My Battle Sisters and Imperial Agents are still cheaper than Battle Sisters in their own codex. So I just want to throw that out there.
That's wild.
Anyways, so you see Repentia came down, small. Yep. Sacrosanct, they came down 20 points for 10 models. That's pretty good.
Dude, and
Seraphim, 20 points for 10 models.
Yep.
That's
putting that squad at 10 models for 170 points.
Yeah. And then Dominions down to 115 from 125. It's just small things that, again, I think are going to make them appealing once again. And from there, going to Custodes, we saw some interesting up and down with Custodes, which I think is good. Shield Captains all down. I think that Shield Captain piece, all down by 10 points. Shield Captains, 130. Dawn Eagle Jet Bikes, 150. Hours Terminator, 130. I think that's cool because it's going to play later into this this other detachment that they have when we get to it. Go ahead.
I'm a huge fan of all the detachments they released. So essentially, they decided the Grotmas went down so well that they just decided to, and possibly moving into the future, they're just going to like scattershot, throw out a couple of detachments with every balance pass that they do, which I think's crazy awesome.
Yeah, and who's really going to argue against that?
No one's going to complain. Oh no, there's too much awesome stuff. It's just not a thing. And in addition to that, they gave us four new detachments: one for Tau, one for Demons, one for Orcs, and one for Custodes. And I got to tell you, all four are bangers. They're all really good and worth using and taking and experimenting with. And I think that's superb.
Do you want to talk about those now?
I could quickly TLDR like literally all of them
let's take a
paragraph.
Quick break, and then we'll come back and then we'll talk about some of the attachments. We'll also talk some of the point changes and things like that and what we've been up to, but let's get to that. Let's take a quick break. We'll see you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com, and don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Everybody, we are back. Please check out our sponsors. Consider checking us out on Patreon if you would like. Now, we also got some detachments. I did not expect to see like sprinkling of detachments. What do you think? This is like the Grotmas spillover? Like you theorized we might, you think we might get these more frequently? Maybe as these new patches and stuff come out to the game? Who knows? But what a blessing.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about one. Let's talk about the Tau. Tau is something that it's, Tau been having some success out there.
Yeah, so it's kind of settled now that Moncars, none of their detachments are bad. Hell, even the Crete detachment's getting some life now as well, especially with a couple of points drops in the MFM. But Experimental Prototype Cadre is the detachment they've been given. And this is suits. It is crisis all the time. And the detachment rule, Superior Craftsmanship, is literally just plus 6-inch range, like full stop, go to stand, pass, go. Clear $200, 6-inch range, everything.
So what does, like, just looking at that rule, 6-inch, an extra 6-inch range to an army that we know is known for shooting. So this is adding, minimum of 33% to every weapon and could be 100% to some weapons. Or
fusion,
at least 50%.
Fusion guns, right?
Fusion guns, talking flamers. Fusion guns and flamers are the two
missiles,
biggest.
Missiles?
Yeah, missile sites.
This is a huge one.
Yeah,
right?
SMS just, even?
That's right, yeah. Adding that up, the plasma kind of, but plasma were pretty good range already.
Yeah.
But it's definitely just that much more that like fusion and flamers and missiles. I think that's huge. Those three right there, go ahead. The enhancements.
Yeah, the enhancements is pretty much pick a gun on a commander, make it crazy, make it like supercharged, super wild.
This.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The first one is the Supernova Launcher. Also, I love that there's no other qualifiers on these except just Tau Empire model, which is really interesting. Coming from Guard, where almost everything has at least one secondary qualifier in order for you to use that.
You sit on one foot, and you're wearing a Cadia symbol. And
yeah, but all of these enhancements just have the qualifier Tau Empire model and then has to have the weapon in question here. So Supernova Launcher is select one airbursting fragmentation projector, say that three times fast, equipped by the bear, improve the strength characteristic of the weapon by 3 and improve AP and damage by 1.
Wow. Strength by 3. And they're all that good. Like, they're all that good, right?
Yeah.
They're all like, yeah. This gun is now better than two of this gun strapped together. It's wild.
Yeah. As a Guard player, though, I think that the next one scares me the most, because this one is the thermoneutronic projector, and it is for a Tau flamer. So now we're improving the range by 6 inches, but now also the strength is improved by 2, and then AP and damage are also improved by 1.
Rude.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, I think there's something to this, and I think we kind of see this with the other detachments as well, is I feel like there's a callback to this, right? Like, you know, for some, and you know, when we talk about which editions we all started playing and where we've seen the evolutions of all of these armies go through, I feel like this existed, like this almost exact layout. Not, it was, right? Whether it was 7th or 8th edition, it's like they're bringing it back. It's these mechanics that we know players at some point love to use, and now they're coming back into the game through these detachments.
So the biggest meme of 8th and 9th edition, at least enhancement-wise, relic-wise, was the relic pistol. And everyone would be like, oh my god, how good, bad is your relic pistol? Because no relic pistol, with the exception of one, was takeable in pretty much the entire length of 8th and 9th edition. There was the one that made guard people auto-pass morale checks in 8th edition. And then there was the hunter's bow for Eldar in 9th edition.
There was that, but there was also a witch hunter one, you know, that you would want to take every now and then, right?
That's right. That's right.
But seriously, every one of these named ones, with the exception of the plasma rifle, has been a like relic pistol in another version of this codex. The supernova launcher was last edition. The thermoneutronic projector was last edition. And the fusion blades has always been associated with the Farsight Enclaves, you know, supplements and or detachments.
And I just love the idea of the fusion blades, because it throws back to the, I mean, my personal part of with the Tau of... I admit I have some correlations and cross, you know, IP material here of like Gundams and whatnot. But when it comes to fusion blades, select one fusion blaster equipped by the bearer, improve the attacks characteristic of that weapon by 1, improve the strength characteristic of that weapon by 3, and that weapon has the melt of 4 ability. What? Like, and then it's 6 inches further. That's just...
Remember when I said it was better than... two, like this one fusion is now better than 2 other fusions. It's, yeah, wild.
And if you're playing it like most people are running these things, he's got 2 more fusion guns or something. Correct. With him anyways, right?
Correct.
And so he's got 1 super blade on top of his other 2 fusion.
I'm going to quickly run you guys through the stratagems, because I can do this very quickly. They're all 1 CP, and the first one is healing D3 plus 1 lost wounds in your command phase on a battle suit. So it's actually the command phase, not yours, so you can do it in your opponent's as well, which is cute. Doesn't say you get a model back, though. So it doesn't regen a model, just gets the wounds back. You have a minus 2 wound in the shooting phase or the fight phase if strength is higher on battlesuit units.
Big deal, yeah. Yeah.
Which is good. It does not say here, because a lot of these battlesuit units ones will say that they can't be used, that they have to be used on crisis suits for a couple of these. But this one is one that you can definitely use.
I do like this mechanic of what, and we've seen this on several different things, like there's some Death Guard stuff like that. It's like if the strength is higher, would have put it to a 3, now it's going to be more for some of this stuff. And so kind of helps something beefy stay, feel like it's beefier.
Exactly right. So this next one is 1 CP experimental weaponry, and you're going to want to take a unit of flamer suits in this army because this is a 1 CP strat to let you reroll the amount of shots. And when you can have like, well, a bucket of D6 shots that you can reroll to your heart's content, I think that is just going to be a very powerful thing.
I mean, this is...
That's 6 extra inches. Yeah, exactly right. With possibly 1 super flamer that for 1 CP gets to reroll the amount of shots as well. Next one is a really cool stratagem. So this is one of the ones that has 2 dot points. Yeah, they can't be used together because they decided they're too good. They're both shooting phase locked. The first dot point is improve the strength of ranged weapons in your unit by 1. And then if you want to get hazardous, you improve the armor penetration and strength, but then all your guns become hazardous. And we know when you're shooting 3 guns per crisis suit, that can...
always hazardous. Do it. No cowards here.
This next one is for exactly the same terms and conditions, but you get sustained or lethal. So you can get sustained or lethal, or choose to be hazardous and get both. And then the last one is possibly the best strat in here, because it is lone op 18 inches. For 1 CP. Can't be used on broadsides. I knew what you were thinking. I'm getting there. I'm cutting you off immediately. Can't use no broadsides. So I do think the best use instead would probably be missile suits, jumping around the backfield, being untargetable.
But so it just, and this is, you know, probably there's no more to it, right? This thing's just two pages. Awesome.
Yep.
Great. Like tons, yep. Just an inject. But got to say, you know, a lot of people that I was playing against that had Tau were running them all the way up to the point until GW dropped the rapid ingress piece and everything. Like you couldn't come in within 3 inches melter anymore,
yeah.
Right? Because of melter range. But now, I mean, like, doesn't this put them back in melter range with 6-inch increase?
No, because you have to deep. There's no 6-inch deep strike here, so you have to deep strike outside 9 inches, which is now what their melter range will be.
But their fusion range is what, 18? Oh, it's just outside. Just outside.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. I mean, but that's still. I mean, I think it still plays out. It's not. You know, you can't close drop it and crush it.
Where I think this is better is just having your fusion suits on the table. And just getting into like max, like staying at 18 inches and blowing stuff up, because you're still going to have like, see, the thing is with a full unit of crisis suits and like a commander with all fusion, like you overkilled Canis Rex in melter range. You just get out of here. So just be happy with the fact that you can like jump around at 18 inches and just you'll still auto pick up like a transport, no problems whatsoever. And then if they want to get feisty and pressure you, jump into melter range and absolutely destroy them.
I like this. The question now is like, cool, this is a good detachment, but what are they giving up? Because you don't get all the other stuff, the other detachment, you would get everything in this sleeve. So, you know, is it worth it? And I think the answer is a solid maybe. This is good stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I think this is good stuff. What's tell us about another one of the detachments.
Well, I think, okay, so like we just covered like some old stuff from Tau that has been brought back to life. Let's cover some of my past trauma with orcs.
Oh, this is why you don't like orcs.
There's some strong trauma to this right now. And after this last weekend where I fought three different orc, very different orc armies, I fought a war horde, which was pretty cool. I fought a dread mob, which was pretty cool. And then I fought a tactical brigade. I can't believe just because I have to stick up with my shtick right now of how much I hate orcs. I can't like this as much as I think orc players will.
Is more DACA, and the detachment rule is DACA, DACA, DACA.
Yeah, they did it. They brought it back.
With the flavor text here, orcs have no real concept of ammunition preservation, instead tending to hold the trigger down until the ammunition runs dry or their weapon falls apart in their hands.
Unfortunately, in this case, their ammo is not going to run dry, and their weapons are never going to fall apart, because now, during their shooting phase, their ranged weapons equipped by orcs, infantry, and orc walker models from your army have the sustained hits 2 ability. And while their WOG is active, they get assault for orcs, infantry, and orcs walker models, which is awesome. Like, I mean, that is just, like, this is classic orcs come back to get us all. This is where sustained hits came from, by the way.
Aren't shock attack guns already being used a lot?
They are, but, like, not like this. Not to this.
Well, I mean, like, this is like an easy, you know, easy port.
Oh, yeah, it's an easy port. I mean, the army that I fought this weekend with a tactical brigade and the war horde, flash kits were messing me up, tank busters were messing me up, and this stuff's just gonna drive that stuff right through. Ludas are back on the table. I mean, but the flash kits, they messed me up, man. And this sustained hits 2 thing is. That is crazy.
I'm glad the flash kits are getting some time in the sun, because they've been awesome models forever, like forever, and have never been on the table until recently.
One thing I'll definitely point out is that the sustained hits 2 is only in your shooting phase. So thank God they didn't give it to you in the Overwatch as well.
Shooting phase. Isn't that the most important time? It is the most important time, but you are right. Yeah. Like that's where it gets you is where it's these things in Overwatch, and it's like, well, you know, I got 40 shots, and you know, 5 of them are 6s, and well, guess what? 15 hits.
Their enhancements are good though. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, and it's not just because so we just saw the Tau where all of those enhancements were like specific to the model, right? The model gets this like buff, this juicy new extra strength, extra attack, extra damage, whatever, so on and so forth. This thing. I mean, and again, I feel like this is reviving past trauma here. With targeting squigs, targeting squigs, each time a model in the bear's unit makes a ranged attack, add 1 to the hit roll. It's back, folks. We're here. We have arrived.
But you skipped over Dead Shiny Shooter.
Well, I had to jump to the targeting squigs because I just remember that one shooting me off the table before. So we're back to Dead Shiny Shooters.
So ranged weapons equipped
by ranged weapons equipped by models in the bear's unit have the rapid fire 1 ability. If you didn't think they had enough shots, now they're within half range because they just jumped out of their truck and they're just unloading. It's ridiculous.
This sounds fun.
Yeah, it does sound ridiculous, but orcs are ridiculous, so it sounds perfect.
Yeah, it's on. It's canon.
Are there any other good enhancements?
Range weapon. Oh my gosh. Go ahead.
There's 2 more that are pretty awesome. The Gobshot Thunderbus, orcs model only, ranged weapons equipped by the bearer have the devastating wounds and hazardous abilities. So I think that has like shock attack gun written all over it, no?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's that one dude who's just gonna drop an entire like whatever with a shock attack gun. It's gonna be ridiculous.
You can hear from here.
So how many shots does a shock attack gun get?
Was it
too many?
Two?
Oh, I don't okay guys, I don't own one.
I'm going fast.
But yeah, well I'm gonna get one.
We're going to the oh yeah.
D6 plus 1 blast heavy. So okay. So let's say you roll the 6 and you're shooting a unit of 5 models. So you got 8 shots and you're joined to a unit of looters and you have the dev wound. So you're going to get 2 sixes plus 2 fives, give or take, on 4 rolls to hit. So you're going to get 6 hits at strength 9, neg 4, d6, wounding on twos into pretty much twos or threes into every infantry in the game. One, which is going to be at least one is going to be a 6 for the dev wounds. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're all in trouble, guys. That's a hell of a thing.
This does seem real fun to constantly be saying daka 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 and to be rolling. Look at one. It's fun to roll sixes. It's fun to say daka daka daka. So what's not to like about this detachment?
Right, that's the tax though. You have to say daka 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 every time you use one of these enhancements.
Can you imagine playing your opponent's like, I get it, I get it.
So my 2 cents on this one is I think this is the best orc detachment that they have access to right now.
It's out of control, man. The stratagems are ridiculous.
So the reason is every other orc detachment so far, he's absolutely battle shook.
That's why I play Deathwatch now, so I can kill orcs better.
Every other orc detachment has the one thing that it's really good at. Like Warhorde is melee, tactical is Daka, etc., etc. This one feels extremely well-rounded because the first 2 stratagems, well, firstly, the second of the 2 stratagems I'm about to tell you about is possibly the best stratagem in the game right now. But the first one is orcs is still orcs. So even in the Daka Daka, you get a fight phase 1 CP reroll once to hit or once to wound or full rerolls to wound on an objective. And I got to tell you, my mate's Beast Boss with a couple of Beastie Boys is going to absolutely adore that. I would like to hear some thoughts on this next strat for whoever wants to read it out, because this thing is, I think, everything orc players have wanted since the start of this edition, and for some reason they dangled it over your heads for almost 2 years.
You talking about the get stuck in, lads?
Yeah, tell us about this.
During your command phase, 1 orc unit from your army effect until the start of your next command phase, the WA is active for your unit, even if you have already called a WA in battle this battle.
So good.
Tanya, tick off how many things that gives an orc unit.
How many things it gives? What do you mean? Like how many different benefits?
Correct.
The plus 1 strength, and you get to
advance and charge.
Feel no pains.
You also get the benefits from this, so you're going to get assault, and
Do you still get plus 1 attack on the war turn?
Oh, I didn't. Oh, you also get an invulnerable save.
Invulnerable, that's what I meant.
So I challenge anyone to tell me more things you get from 1 CP than that. Like advance and shoot, advance and charge, an invuln save, way more punchier. And people pay 1 CP for advance and shoot, in stuff. And you're just like, four more good buffs. Ah.
So you're gonna want to take Grots though, because you're gonna want to farm CP, so you can always use this one and then still have access to all these other awesome stratagems.
100% agree. You're onto it.
That's what I was about to say, just in the reverse of why I'm going to make sure I bring a Calidus Assassin so that I can make this cost more so that it gets used less so that I don't have to hear people wogging more often.
Yeah. You have to make some sort of wah. And that means you get 5 turns of wah, which I think is everything all players always wanted.
Yeah.
They get to yell wah like at 5 turns.
That's what everybody else at the tournament wanted as well.
I agree. I miss wahs. When I don't hear one at a tournament, I'm like, this tournament sucks.
Like, are we even Warhammering?
Not
where's
what
my culture?
Yeah.
My culture spelled with a K.
So this other one though, this the called. I'm not even gonna do it because there's another stratagem.
Call that DACA.
There you go. I wasn't even gonna say it.
Call this that one, DACA.
This one's crazy. Your opponent's shooting phase.
Yeah. Who needs Overwatch?
The unit has shot. Yeah. It's like this is a reaction that happens like in Horus Heresy. One orcs unit from your army that had one or more of its models destroyed as a result of attacking unit's attacks after it was just shot. Your unit can shoot as if it were your shooting phase, but must target only that enemy unit when doing so. Can only do so if that enemy unit is an eligible target. So there's just like no, like, you don't just hurt tank busters or ludas or flash kits or whatever. They shoot back at you now for one CP.
For one.
If your activation is not going to kill half the unit, do not shoot them.
Right. Don't just plink at them. You can't just... Yeah.
You can't chip these units down anymore.
It's ridiculous.
Especially when they're on the wild. Like, it's actually really awkward to kill like 6 toughness 5 multi-wound 5 up invulnerable save, you know, tank busters. It's actually a little awkward for a lot of armies. Like,
right.
Eldar, like, outside of 10... Like Dire Avenger, actually 10 Dire Avenger went to it. 10 Dark Reapers. Outside 10 Dark Reapers, there's no one Eldar unit that's going to dunk that unit in the war turn, in the 5 up invuln turn. And so you're always just going to be like, blow them on up. So it's actually a problem for a lot of armies. But wait, there's more. There's 2 shooting stratagems here. One of them, I remember one of them does ignores cover. How does that one work?
You just select an enemy unit within 18 inches. Has to be an orc's character model. From your army.
An orc's character just points at a model and then that unit doesn't get cover.
Select one enemy unit within 18 inches of your orc's character model. Until the end of the phase, weapons equipped by orc's models from your entire army have the ignore cover ability while targeting that unit.
Seems good, right?
Ridiculous.
Because, well, so, Tanya, you like me, you think this is like the Flash Gits and Looters detachment?
Yeah, but I also think that my Gorkonauts are looking pretty good in this as well.
Yes, that's true. That is very true, actually. But if I remember correctly, both of those units I just listed have AP problems, right? They're in the AP1, looters and tank boss and flash kits.
I don't know. I don't use them, but probably.
I think they are. I know looters are. I was trying to remember flash kits.
I think flash kits may be higher, but it's still a problem.
They have an AP. I think they have an AP problem. They don't have an amount of shots or a strength problem, but an AP problem.
Yeah, so, are AP amazing. 1. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, this is everything they ever wanted.
Yeah. One orcs unit from special shells, and I'm going to say it just like it's supposed to be said in normal spelling, special shells. One orcs unit from your army that has not been selected to shoot this phase. Until the end of the phase, each time a model in your unit makes a ranged attack that targets the closest eligible target within 18 inches, improve the armor penetration characteristic of ranged weapons equipped by models in your unit by 1. Okay, great. I guess I'll just eat that flash kits unit just taking me out.
We now have definitive proof that Red does not like to have fun.
I do.
Yes, Paul. Lay into him.
I'm going to smash one.
a new fighter has entered the stage.
All right.
I'm going to... Great. Tomorrow I will be painting orcs.
Next detachment. Let's go.
Only to fight Red.
All right. I have to tell you guys, this Custodes detachment... It's freaking good. This might be the best of Custodes detachment because I'll just tell you right now, the Solar Spearhead archetype with all the Dreadnoughts went up quite considerably. Every one of the Dreadnoughts you wanted to take has gone up 10 points.
Not only that, but this actually made me consider for like a hot, I don't know, 5 minutes. Like maybe it is time for me to bring my Custodes out of storage, but I think that the guard hooks are like too firmly into me at the moment.
Nice. Very reasonable. The The detachment rule is incredible. If your unit is not within 6 inches of any other custodian units, they get +1 to hit, very redundant unless they're -1 to hit, but +1 to wound, which is freaking incredible. Incredible. And this is shooting and fighting. It's when you activate. It's just like you have to do some positioning stuff, but you're in full control of all that positioning stuff.
It's not like, hard to get outside of another small unit. Only 6 inches.
Yeah, no, correct. Only 6 inches.
Not with this army.
And I have to tell you about the combo. It's back, baby. It's been a theme for the last two editions.
It's going
to
be awesome.
At some point, you'll be able to spend a resource and split up a unit of Alara's Terminators.
I love it. That was my favorite part. I love that. Like it was like called the Lions or something.
Unleash the Lions, yeah.
And yeah, Unleash the Lions. And now this is called Lions of the Emperor. It's like the perfect detachment.
Yeah.
Like the cascade of it is perfect.
I'm just going to say it. I'm not sure they thought this one through, because you can deploy a unit of...
say that. They're listening, dude.
You can deploy a unit of 6 Alaris, yeah? And for 1 CP, now you have 6 units of 1 Alaris, and at the end of the fight phase, you can put them all into reserve, and because they started on the table and the way that theirs is worded, they can stay there all game and just wait for you to draw the right cards to deep strike them down to score things. And then you just stay there all game. It's very good.
Give me that containment.
Yeah, GSC get to do that, so we're fine, right? Like,
yeah, it's
custodians totally get to do it. For all those people out there listening that like don't listen, it's not that bad, Adam. Like the orcs need to be brought down.
I need to tell you about two combos that have just gotten me absolutely reeling. By the way, I think this detachment has the 4 best enhancements of any detachment I've seen.
Okay, and I love them.
Every enhancement is extremely usable. They have one that is get back up on death on 2+. 10 points just got removed from the Alaris shield captain. That guy's ability is that once per game, all instances of incoming damage become damage 1. You have a 1 CP stratagem in this to use that ability for a second time. You rapid ingress that guy in someone's back lines. They absorb an entire army's shooting, gets back up on a 2+, and does it again.
With full wounds.
That guy is a freaking menace.
Awesome.
So good. The other one is just a little old thing like a shield captain on bike that has lone operative. You don't need to worry about it. It's stealth. Don't worry.
So the Presidius, Adeptus Codex models only. The bearer has the lone operative and stealth ability. The name of that other enhancement you're talking about, Superior Creation, which was the same name from a previous codex too, yeah, if I remember correctly. Which is, it's cool to see stuff creeping back into the game. I like that.
And then they just happen to have the best melee damage enhancing ability. There's only one that's comparable. The only one that's comparable is Rage Fueled Warrior from Blood Angels, which gives sustained 3. What this gives is Shield Captain model only, so you can't put this on your Blade Champion, because that's obviously where it would go immediately. Improve the strength characteristic of melee weapons by 3, and improve the AP and damage by 1. Most other melee ones will increase the AP and damage, or increase the strength and AP, and those will just be by like 1. This is 3 strength, 1 AP, 1 damage. It's incredibly strong.
It's a relic of the Dread Host. This towering blade was wrought to make a bloody example of those who dare to set themselves against the might of Terra.
Just tell you, the other one, though, the third one, right? Fierce Conqueror at Shield Captain model only. Again, I like this, like, kind of focus more on the Shield Captain there than just like letting it go.
I suppose just an orc. Any orc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go figure. But this one, though, speaking of orcs, if you find yourself up against a horde army at the start of the fight phase until the end of the phase, add 2 to the attack's characteristic of melee weapons equipped by the bearer for every 5 enemy models within 6 inches of the bearer, rounding down. And so the orcs can add those numbers up quick, and I think that's pretty awesome how it adds up.
I think it's very good, but that's my least favorite one, and that's saying something, because that's extremely good.
Those are some nice attachments. The strategy we were talking about earlier was is the Unleash the Lions, and it reads 1 Alarius Custodians or Aquilon Custodian unit from your army that was on the battlefield effect. The unit is split into separate units, each containing 1 model. These new units have a starting strength of 1.
Love it.
So strong. There are a lot of armies out there that have activation issues. Have you guys heard this concept of activation locking your opponent? Mm-hmm. Like just giving them so many things they need to do in a turn that they run out of the ability to, account for all of them. we usually call this the go turn or
sure. So, and also there, to that point, there's also diffusing shots, right? Because you can only do so much. And when you need to mass shots, that's when you take advantage of a lot of the abilities. But to split it up now amongst three targets, you're not assured that you're going to get the damage through in so many ways.
Like, think of it like this. If I have a unit that has, you know, four las cannons, that unit of four las cannons via various buffs, it's usually good to kill two Alaris. Mm-hmm. Yep. But if you were to split that up and now you have, you know, a unit of like three single Alaris, technically it's actually more likely that two las cannons don't kill one, because you'll have to diffuse your stratagem uses and your buffs across different activations. And so all of a sudden you completely stress out your opponent's ability, their activation economy, is another way we like to describe it. And like, if I manage to deep strike or rapid ingress six single Alaris into your opponent's backfield, like, how many units do you have to turn around to fix that problem? Because usually if I put one unit of six Alaris back there, cool. Their best unit goes back and solves that problem. Their one best unit goes back and goes toe-to-toe with that unit and probably, you know, either neuters it or takes care of it. Now, one big unit of like 10 possessed does not six individual Alaris kill. Because even if you could charge them all in the same activation, you have to split up the amount of attacks across each one so definely that you expose yourself to so many more risks of variance.
I was saying, you were talking about putting them in reserves and bringing them down. I was just thinking six ones on the table is exactly the problem that you are describing.
Correct.
That would be a real thing.
Really annoying. And so what I love in this army, I like two solo shield captains on bikes, and then the one shield captain in a large Terminator armor with the get back up on death. So you have one that just parks on an objective to the left of you with lone op, one that plays funny buggers diving in and around with all the plus strength and all that stuff, which is actually, with its melter shot as well, is very, very good for killing a transport on demand, which is something that custodians can struggle with. Or they don't know they struggle to do it, but the issue is, like, to go and kill a 70-point Rhino, you need to use a 200-point unit of Wardens. It's not very effective. So having a much more cost-effective model to go and do that feels very good. And then, of course, I mean, it's a bit of a nombo in the fact that you have the Interceptor Lance that has Lance and you got plus one to wound. But, don't worry about it.
It's a Lance. You got to get the rule to it. It should have it, even if it doesn't need it. It's still a Lance.
It's true. Still a Lance. But anyway, this is a fantastic detachment. And it plays a lot more closely to what I assume people's, like, natural collections are of custodies, where they've got a little bit of everything, rather than I have to have six dreadnoughts and two Caladius grav tanks to play this solar spearhead thing. And some people don't have the Forge World budget to, you know, necessarily do that. Whereas if you bought like two starter sets 8 years ago, you can play this up.
Love it.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Look, there's another detachment to talk about, actually a whole other stuff with the demons to talk about, but we are kind of out of time for this episode. So just know that in a couple of days after you hear this, we're going to release another episode, which will include all that stuff. So if you have not subscribed or whatever, put yourself in where you get notified when we do have another episode that comes out, please do that now. That is a hassle-free way to support the show, and just know that it is coming. What? This is a good week for Warhammer. There's lots of cool stuff. Like, everything we talked about here has been cool, and I can get behind the changes and the points and everything else that's going to be advanced right now as well.
I got to say, J-Dub has not under-promised, over-performed, but every time they've gone to, like, they've released something in the last 12 months, it's always been more than I expected, and I've been impressed pretty much every time.
Awesome. Well, thank you all very much, everybody. Thank you all for coming and joining me and talking about this stuff. We will see you all next week. Or it's actually, no, in a couple days. Stay tuned.
Hey. That's right.
See y'all.
Hi, everybody.
See ya.
Warspec scan is clear. I think they're gone for now.